to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
Best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Well, I'm sorry, first off, that it has been since Thanksgiving that we have recorded an episode.
Is that true?
Yes.
Whoops. Sorry.
I think it makes sense. The holiday seasons are crazy.
Yeah.
I went back and looked. We didn't even record anything like last November or Christmas or December at all.
Oh, so you're saying this is growth?
Yes. I'm saying we are coming to you hot with a Christmas special because this is going to come out on Christmas.
Wow. Oh, right. Because Christmas is Monday. Oh, okay.
Isn't that crazy to think about? I know.
I feel like I should have changed my story, but it's okay.
Wait, now I'm like, wait, what is your story? Isn't it Christmas related? I don't know.
It is Christmas related. It just is a little dark in a different way than normal. We'll get there.
We will get there. Well, I talked to Felicia about this, and I wanted to start off our podcast this week with a little bit of remembrance for one of my sweet, sweet cousins. So this is also partially why we didn't end up recording earlier this month. But my cousin Sammy, who's my mom's cousin, passed away now like almost a month ago, which is crazy.
Wow.
But he was only, you know, he was in his 50s. He, you know, left us definitely far too soon. But he is, you know, he's always been one of my favorite cousins because he lived a very full life. He was like the smartest guy, the most hilarious, always like the most supportive family member ever. And we did all get to get together. We all got to get together. That sounds weird. In Pittsburgh for his funeral and to like remember his life and all of it. And it was amazing. But I'm talking about him too because he was a big fan of this podcast, which just like makes me want to cry all over again.
I know.
So he always used to like text me or Instagram DM me with like ideas or just talking about like what we had talked about that past week. Or just like funny things. And he was the one, I don't know if you remember this, Felicia, but there was this week that I covered like a Pittsburgh story that one of them gave to me. And I mispronounced Monongahela. Now I know how to say it.
Well, how could you not mispronounce that?
Right? And when you see it spelled out, it's, but it's Monongahela. And he like had sent me like a voice message of him saying it, being like, I can't believe you got it wrong, Monongahela. When I visited in Pittsburgh, I got to go to that area, and my whole family lives right there. So I was like, this is ridiculous.
Wait, what was the story?
It was the one about the plane that like flew into the river and the people.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Now I'm like, did the people get lost? Or did the plane?
That episode is over, so we don't have to know anymore.
I really have no idea. I was going to look it up, but I'm like, it's over. So
yeah.
He was the best. And we also have this massive family group text. It's actually hilarious. It's like 40 people. And
40 people? Do people 40 say people. Things?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's so sad because he was like the one that like really kept it going. Aww. So we've all kind of like, I know it's really sad, but we've all kind of taken on, not me. I don't know why I included myself in that, but other people who are amazing in the family have taken on different like parts of what he used to do. So like one of the cousins now does like my cousin Jean does this like custom connections game. Like people send like pumpkin spice crazy items that they find because he used to do that where it'd be like pumpkin spiced cucumber or something.
What?
Like whatever.
Aww.
It's very, very sweet. And our family's always been really close, but he was just like the most incredible. And he's kind of unique because he was single his whole life. So he was just like the best, like,
oh wow,
uncle, you know, parental figure to so many of my cousins at different points, like the best uncle to his nieces and nephews. Like he did so much just like helping his family out. Like really, he was like, he checked in on my great aunt all the time. Like I think a lot of people are going to really feel that part really hard. Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody's going to miss him, but what I wanted to say is they had this slideshow at the memorial of like all pictures of him, which was really sad and really beautiful. but there are so many pictures of him. He's like a bigger dude for a lot of his life, just like him covered in kids, like five or six.
Aww.
Different generations, different times. Like when I was little, there's like, you know, pictures of me with him, like on top of him.
Yeah.
And then when, like the next generation was little, like it's just so,
he was just very loved.
He was very loved. And he was just like one of those people that was like always at every family event. Like he would come to like I think he came and saw Cinderella and Peter Pan. Like it was, he's just that kind of guy.
Lauren's mentioning her high school productions.
Thank you. No, everyone doesn't know. Oh my God. I have the quickest side story because I just have to share it. I don't even think she listens to the podcast, but my little cousin. So Sammy has three brothers, or sorry, Sammy was one of three. He had two brothers, and one of his brothers has a 14-year-old now. But when I did Peter Pan, she was like, I don't know, two. And so she ended up coming to see it. And her mom had always told me, like, she wore out the DVD. Like, I gave, like, you know, we gave her a DVD of the performance and she, like, watched all the time. Now that she's 14, so I, like, went up to her at the funeral and, you know, I was like, I'm so, so sorry for your loss. I said, I don't know if you remember me, but, like, I'm Lauren. I was, you came and saw me in Peter Pan. I don't know. And she was like,
I was Peter Pan.
I mean, get ready. So she goes, oh my God, Lauren, of course. And I was like, I heard like you do theater and like it's so cool that you got into it after all of that. And she was like, I love that DVD. And I was like, I just thought it was so sweet that you were just, you know, rewatching like my high school theater's Peter Pan. Like you could have been watching like Kathy Rigby or whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait, that was your high school theater production? And I said, yes. And she was like, I've been telling everybody that you were on Broadway in Peter Pan. Jaden, I did cast Hamilton. Like, it's easily confused. I cast Hamilton.
I mean, she's 14. That is information gets blurred together when you're young.
Exactly. And she's like, I've been telling everybody that you were Peter Pan on Broadway and that I saw you in Peter Pan on Broadway.
That is the best thing. I can't tell you how much I needed that today. That was the most amazing miscommunication story ever.
But it was so sweet because I was like, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, I feel like I crushed your dreams. And she was like, no, it's okay. Like, I'll just like pretend in my mind that I didn't find this out.
Wow. That
was so
bananas.
Funny.
I love that.
But then she was showing me her theater videos and she was like Brooke Wyndham and Legally Blonde, like the jump roping.
Oh, amazing.
I know.
So good.
Just so sweet. Yeah, but I should just like, it's kind of the end of my Sammy little thing. You know, I of course, like, am so glad to have known him. So glad to have had him in my life. And everyone just kept saying, like, at the memorial, like my favorite thing was like everyone kept saying he was always the person, and maybe because he was single, but he was always the person that would like go on the trip, eat the awesome meal, like buy the new thing that you want. And so I feel like that's going to be my energy, like going into 2024 is like living life fully and like taking care of the people around you and trying to be a little bit more like that. But anyway, he's the best. And so now I'm going to shift
that's
really
beautiful.
Quickly. My other little side story very quickly is that my cousin Brian, who is his little brother, and he's just
this
like
is now the Harris family podcast.
I know. It's really the Co-Walls. The Co-Walls is like that side. Okay. So my cousin Brian is also a huge fan of the podcast. He is like a big softy. He like had us all like crying at the funeral. He's like such a good dude. I mean, really like the three brothers are just like, I can't even describe how different all of them are. Like they are so different, but somehow like just all hilarious and all just like these like stand-up guys. But so Brian says he listens to the podcast every week and he always says with us, he always goes, have some sweet, sweet nightmares. Bye.
That is so sweet. That is so sweet. The idea of anybody doing that with us just warms my cold, dead heart. That's so nice.
I know. And I was like, we're such a mess. Like, it's amazing that we even say the same thing every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's truly. I mean, the research that I am about to perform for you today is hilariously schemey.
It's going to be great. And that's why I'm just beefing it up. But really, okay, I promise I'm almost done. So at Sammy's funeral, Brian came up to me and was like literally I looked at him, I had tears in my eyes, we're hugging, like sweet moment. And he's like, do you want to go to a haunted house tonight? And I was like, what the heck? Your brother just passed away. Like, is that? And he's like, I think it'd be really good for us. And I was like, okay. And apparently, like, so we went to this haunted house. I'm going to do a topic. Like, I'm going to do an episode.
This was
on
in late November, right?
It was early. Yeah, like early December. It was a Christmas haunted house.
Oh, okay.
Santa themed. But it's called Demon House. And it's in Monongahela. And it's a 5-minute drive away from Tom Savini's makeup school in Pittsburgh.
Cool. So, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's just like a legit haunted house. But there's a true crime story around like the mansion that it takes place in. So I'm going to talk about it in January. But
nice.
I just thought it was like so funny that like a bunch of – and it was like – I don't know. We ended up getting like 10, 12 people there to this haunted house and like including – the two brothers whose brother had just passed away. Like it was just, it was very cathartic. It was really sweet. And then too, the last little tidbit. So Brian's daughter is I think 13 or 14 too. And she was like, are you going to the haunted house tonight? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to the haunted house. And like somebody leaned over and was like, I hope you don't cry again, Sadie. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, you cried last time? She was like, yeah. And I was like, but you want to go back? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, but what if you cry again? And she was like, if I get scared, I'll cry, but I'll keep going. And I was just like, that also is like amazing.
That's just such a good life motto. It's like, yeah. If I cry, I'll cry and then I'll keep going.
I mean, thought it was so good.
That's what I tell my – so I'm a theater teacher and that's what I tell my students. Or I'll be like – they'll be like, I'm so scared, Miss Lobo. I'm freaking out. I'm so scared. I'm like, of course you are. And you'll do it anyway.
Yes.
Like, okay.
It's incredible. That I think that is a good life motto to have.
Yeah. And I'll just keep going.
I'll just keep going. I'd like to cry all through a haunted house and then to want to go back. I'm like, I don't think I have that.
Yeah. But that is amazing. That was all just like really nice to hear all that.
He was the specialist person and I had the most wonderful weekend with my family. Obviously, I wish it was like under different circumstances, but it was so good to see everybody. And it was one of those times where I was just like, dang, I'm so glad that like flights exist. And like I used points. Just, like I was just so glad I could get there. But anyway, that's a little bit about my cousin Sammy and my family and thank you. They all were like, we're all going to listen to the podcast. So
yeah,
I felt like I needed to do a little tribute.
Well, I'm so glad you did because, I mean, an incredible person like that deserves to be honored by their family. And it's, I'm not family and I still feel like I got so much out of that story of just hearing about who he was and what kind of person he was. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, of course. All right. Do you want to jump in?
I shall. Okay. So this week, my story is Christmas themed. So a few weeks ago, actually it was for my birthday now that I think about it. I typically for my birthday now, I don't really ask for stuff from Travis, my fiance. I usually just am like, let's go for a weekend trip upstate. And that's really just because I get really sick of living in the city and in Brooklyn and I need a little nature / a little small town joy / et cetera space. And so we were trying to figure out where to go and we had come across Rhinebeck for a couple of reasons. One, I had a student that I had taught over the summer who was from there and told me it was like the most magical place. And then I think like Travis's sister mentioned it to him. And so we started looking up Rhinebeck and we also want to like move out of the city at some point. We don't know when, but in our future after we're married, probably definitely. But I don't know when after that. And so we've kind of been looking at towns and blah, blah, blah. And so we start looking up Rhinebeck and we are immediately both like, whoa, this is like such a good option for us. Like, it's got like an indie movie theater and two community theaters that look really excellent and like nice restaurants. And like, it looks adorable and it looks like Gilmore Girls. And so,
yes,
we were like, okay, we're going to go. So we went, and on the way, or like, no, the night before, Travis is, I think he gets a text from his sister and he's like, oh my God, on Saturday, there's this big like Christmas festival happening in Rhinebeck. And I was like, no way. And so we looked it up. And it was called Sinterklaas. And we started looking up
that story.
Yeah. So we started looking at pictures and I was like, wow, this looks so magical and beautiful. And we didn't really know what it was necessarily, because it looked like it wasn't just like Christmas. Like, it was clearly something different. And we weren't sure exactly what it is, but it was like, it looked kind of like mystical, magical, witchy Christmas. And I was like, okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So we go, and, you know, throughout the day, like, tons of people are there, and like thousands and thousands of people like come into the downtown small town of Rhinebeck to do this festival every year, which is like really just a parade. Like, I think they have some things happening during the daytime, but mostly it's the parade that happens at night. And there's all these performers, and they have all these like giant, beautiful light up hand puppets of like ants and bumblebees and other animals. And then they have, you know, Sinterklaas walking, which is like kind of the Norwegian Santa Claus. And there's a horse, and it was just very magical and beautiful.
So magical.
Yeah, everyone's got these stars. Like, everyone like has these stars, and all these kids were like running around holding these sticks they had decorated, like, in school. Like, you just decorate a stick. Like, there's all these like traditions, and we were like, what is this thing? Like, we still like couldn't really figure it out. Like, we knew it was holiday themed, but it almost felt a little secular. Like, it felt a little like not Chris. It was like, I was like, is this like a Wiccan thing? Like, I was like, what is this festival? So we experienced it. We loved every second of it. It was so beautiful. And on the way
Oh, no.
On the way home today, I was like, oh, well, so yesterday on the way home, because we were supposed to record this yesterday, but I left my mic at home. I mean, at school. And so I was trying to find like some other like podcasts or YouTube videos that I could listen to on the way home just to get some like basic info. And I couldn't really find anything. And I was like, oh, God. So I call Travis and I'm telling him I can't find anything. And so he just like pulls up the Wikipedia article and starts reading it to me while I'm driving home, which
is so sweet.
It's so sweet.
He's like helping you memorize.
He's helping me. And then he starts reading and it starts to take a turn. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this the same thing we went to? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So, okay. I'm going to start with some basics. Okay. And then I'll tell you the turn. So, on this Sinterklaas Hudson Valley website, which is like the – it's a old, so it's the full website that they have that for this event every year. And it's the, always like the first weekend in December. And it says here, what's Sinterklaas? It says, every year brings new events and characters to dazzle our community, honor our children, and bring light to this darkest time of year. The Sinterklaas festivities draw on the Hudson Valley's Dutch heritage, but with some modern-day twists. Children are the focus, becoming kings and queens for the day, turning the switches of the original story into royal scepters. And I said, switches?
Switches.
Interesting. Children make scepters and crowns for themselves, and the creator, I don't know. Basically, it's supposed to be like a thing that's not about like wanting or having presents, but they do tie a wish to their branch. Tie a wish, one for their community, one for their family, and one for the world. And they tie those wishes to their branches, and then they bring them to the festival. So that was nice. And then I think they had all these like beautiful ants, like the bug puppet things, and we also saw like ants like kind of around town too, and we were like, what's the ant have to do with it? apparently nothing. So I think they pick a different animal every year that's like honored at the festival.
And the one and you went to the dance.
Yeah, and so this year was ant. So it says ant. It says the cat is out of the bag. No, the honored animal is not the cat. It is the ant. Ants are a group of individuals who work together for the community to make their world a better place. So yeah, but so basically they so that was the ant thing. So there was like giant ants, and I was like, what's that? It's they just pick a different animal every year. That's and cool. And then they also host these like giant puppet making workshops where they build these amazing puppets. That we'll post pictures of. I mean, they're astounding. And yeah, so that's like kind of the Rhinebeck version of this. And then you'll dig deeper. So Sinterklaas is once again, like the Dutch Santa Claus, basically. And the Feast of Sinterklaas, which is basically, it's on the name day of St. Nicholas, who was an actual saint. It was a Greek bishop that was around from the year 270 to 343, says Wikipedia.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, and he, you know, he was said to have this like, you know, white hair, big, big full beard, but was also kind of like a serious looking dude, like kind of a serious man. And then he wore red. So he had like a cape and a white bishop thing, but it, instead of white, it was red. And yeah, and so that kind of like depiction of St. Nicholas is how we eventually got like our Americanized Santa Claus. Oh, I was listening to this one guy on YouTube, and he also had mentioned that Santa Claus, as we know it today, was sort of invented in New York. And that's because New York, which I guess was like, yeah, New York had like a very strong Dutch population. So I thought that was interesting as well. But anyways.
That is.
So yeah, so they celebrate this on the 6th of December. St. Nicholas Eve is December 5th. So not, you know, our the December 25th that we're used to. And he traditionally rides a white horse. And the Netherlands, the horse is called the Amerigo. And so we actually did see a horse in the festival that was like controlled by like three different puppeteers. And that was really cool. And then like it would like come over to each side of the parade and like you could kind of like almost touch it. And it was like very lifelike, very lifelike. So that was really cool. And then he carries a big red book, which says, which is like basically the good or bad or a good or naughty list of all the children. So that's Sinterklaas. So Sinterklaas has an assistant. And this is where it's going to take a turn. The assistant's name is, I'm going to say this wrong, Duarte Piet, which is known as Black Piet. So in the Netherlands, this like helper of Sinterklaas is from Spain, but is typically, but is black. And so, and it's typically in the Netherlands shown in blackface. And I said, uh-oh. So, of course.
Not good.
Not good. So, Google some images. And, yeah, so in their Sinterklaas celebrations for years and years and years and years, they had people in blackface playing this other character. So, it was like Sinterklaas and Black Piet.
Jeez.
And most – and Netherlands is mostly white people, so mostly white people did this blackface. And – once, like, I think it's, like, the – I think it really took until – I'm sure there was controversy before. But in, like, the 2010s, all these articles started coming out basically kind of being, like, how is the Netherlands still getting away with this festival? And everyone was, like – and many people in the Netherlands didn't see it as racist. They saw it as a character. And many other people, and other people in the Netherlands too, like, you know, as generations turn over, young people are usually like, hey, older generation, that's probably not cool.
Not so good.
Not so cool. and it's like also traditional, traditional is probably not the right word, but it's like the blackface that was part of vaudeville. So it's kind of this like you also have like the red lipstick and mm-hmm. like a wig. Like it's just like so horribly offensive. And yeah, and so this is really gone on for years. And then they had tried to make some less racist looking versions.
Oh no.
And none of them were less racist looking. I mean, they all look racist. Like it's just like you can't there's a quote in one of these articles, it's one in The Guardian, that somebody says you can't reach a compromise of racism. Like there's no making it better. Like you can't make it slightly less racist and still get away with it. Like it just is racist. Like there's not like a compromise you had there. These
pictures are so bad.
It's so bad. And honestly, I can't post them on the Instagram because I just don't feel comfortable sharing those images.
No.
Because it's just horribly racist. Okay, so Black Pete, so he, let's see, the name first appeared as like this, actually, it didn't have a name at first in this book called, Sinterklaas in Zien Night, which is St. Nicholas and His Servant, which was published in 1850 by an Amsterdam school teacher. But apparently the tradition of Sinterklaas having this assistant goes even further back. Black Pete is seen with colorful dress in the 16th century noble attire. He's got like a lace collar and a feathered cap. He's typically carrying a bag that contains candy for children, which he tosses around. Which people did toss candy out of bags at this Rhinebeck Festival, but nobody was in blackface. I will tell you that for sure.
Good, good.
I will also say Rhinebeck is also extraordinarily white. So that was like another layer to it after I looked this up where I was like, it's like almost like a double yikes. Because I'm just very curious if the people there under like know any of this part of the history or not. Like maybe they do, maybe they don't. I truly don't know. But anyways, so yes. So okay. So he has the candy bags and then he also carries a birch rod, and it's basically like a chimney sweep's broom made of willow branches, and he used it to spank children that were naughty. So that's kind of the and where the Rhinebeck
the switches
that they now call scepters. So the kids get to play king and queen for a day instead of racist servant. Person, I don't know. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like I don't even know how to talk about it in a way that's not bad.
I know, and even like it's just crazy that it's so prominently part of like this festival that like is not really about that at all, but it's just a main character.
Absolutely. It's just absolutely. And yeah, and so I guess I don't know. That's most of the stuff I found about it. And I guess how I want to end this is it's this interesting thing because so many things I feel like that we still celebrate, like traditions we still use and celebrate even in America that have such dark histories, like even like Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, totally.
And it kind of like begs the question, is it better to change a tradition or is it better to like, you know, in modern day language, cancel it and leave it behind is such a tricky thing. Cause I mean, the Rhinebeck version, and I think also somewhat, I mean, I don't know personally cause I've not been to the Netherlands, but I do wonder if like they've also like changed and tried to update the festival. And it seems like Rhinebeck definitely has, like, there's some language on their website that like alludes to it having different meanings in original stories, but they're like changing it and modernizing it, and I don't know, like I don't know if that is okay or not. It's like the same, I just got the same thing kind of with Thanksgiving where I'm like, is this like we're still celebrating it and like I enjoy it and we talk about like we definitely like at least I mean in schools now, or at least the schools I've worked in, like there is discussion about the truth about, you know, how Native American people were treated and like Thanksgiving kind of having this dark undertone in it. And so I'm like, oh, I wonder if like the kids in Rhinebeck, where this festival is so prominent, are having those kind of similar conversations where it's like, yes, there is dark histories here, but we're kind of changing what it's about and keeping some of the tradition alive. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea. So I don't know. It's a tricky thing. But I do agree nobody in the Netherlands or here should be going around in blackface for any kind of anything. So, I mean, that's obvious to me. But yeah, but it's like, does that mean to cancel the whole thing? Or does right. it just need to change over time? I don't know.
And that's always like such a tricky thing. Because then it's like, probably if we go back, I don't know, there are a lot of holidays that I think have dark histories.
Yeah.
In some way. And it is, yeah, it is like, yeah, should we cancel it? Should we just come up with a new name and have the same sort of festival, but it's a brand new thing or what? It's very interesting.
Or just change the parts that no longer work in our society.
Yeah. Yeah. Or offensive now. Yeah.
Or offensive. Yeah. I
don't know. Interesting. So, yeah. Well, and his
Sinterklaas.
And his costume is so distinct. He's got a good look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mean Sinterklaas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sinterklaas. Not
Lauren's not eyes went wide.
No, Sinterklaas has a good look.
Yeah.
The crimped beard I was reacting to.
Oh, and I'll say this again. The festival that we went to in Rhinebeck, it really felt so like earthy and witchy. Like there was so much about it so that really pure. Felt very, I wish I could think of a word better than witchy, but that's just kind of how it felt to me. Like it, so that was interesting to me. So I don't know if that's just also like part of how they've changed it over time or not, but.
Yeah. Oh, well, very interesting, Sinterklaas. I'm kind of doing something a little similar. So I'm covering Frau Perchta, who's not as famous as Krampus, but is a similar kind of evil Christmas monster. I guess witch is really what she is. But so she is a staple in southern Germany and Austria. Obviously, we don't talk about her as much in the US, but she is also known as Berchta or Bertha. And has also been called, this I'm really going to mess up, Spinstubenfrau or Spinning Perfect. Room Lady.
Spinning Room Lady. That's
funny. Spinning Room Lady. So her name also, or I guess that probably like another translation is the Bright One. But she's often shown as having a beaked nose made of iron, dressed in rags, sometimes carrying a cane and kind of looking just like an old woman. She also carries a long knife under her skirt, which I think we should just all be doing at this point.
Honestly.
Just right in like a garter.
Or in the boot. That's so cool.
In the boot.
That's so cool.
In the boot. but she, in many descriptions, this is hysterical, she has one large foot that is sometimes called a goose foot or a swan foot.
Oh.
And it's just like a sign of her, you know, being a higher nature.
Is it bigger than the other foot?
Yes.
Oh.
Like one big foot, one normal foot.
Weird. Okay.
Yes. And some people believe that it indicated that she was like a shapeshifter, having magic. She's also pretty similar to the Scandinavian goddess Frigga. And the focus for both of them is about like spinning or the spinning, you know, like a spinning wheel. And the cleanliness of your home. I know this is kind of similar to other stories we've heard. So in some versions, it's like spinning wheel, cleanliness. Some versions, it's more almost like Sam from Trick or Treat, where it's like making sure local customs are kept.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is cool. And, oh, and her big foot, too, is like representative of like, you know, I mean – I was about to act like you had ever sat at a spinning wheel or that I had, but yeah. There's like a pedal, like a sewing machine almost. So the big foot
I've seen Sleeping Beauty.
Exactly. So legend has it that you had to get your flax spun, all of your flax spun by the 12th night of Christmas, which is January 6th, for when Christmas season was over. And you also had to leave out a bowl of porridge for her.
Oh.
And so she and also kind of similar to Santa, she would also know which children of the household had behaved well and worked hard all year. And so if you did these things, if your flax was spun, if your house was clean, you left a bowl of porridge out, if you were good all year, then you might have a silver coin in your shoe or in a pail when you woke up. Similar to, I don't know, did you ever do St. Nicholas? That was like a thing sort of in our Catholic tradition, weirdly, of like leaving your shoes out.
Yeah, yeah. We did that at my house because we're Latino, but the January 6th, but we call it Three Kings. The three kings come and leave presents for the baby Jesus. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So what is the punishment if you haven't done those things? So there are tales in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland of her trampling and even setting fire to your like not finished threads, basically.
Wow.
And if your house is a mess or if you didn't leave out the porridge, it will extend beyond your spinning room. So she might come into your bedroom and, get ready for this, disembowel you and replace your guts with rocks and straw.
Oh, so she's pissed.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious that we told these stories to children. Like,
yeah, yeah. She's gonna cut. It's like if your room's not clean and you forget the porridge, she's gonna disembowel you, and then you have to explain to a child what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
She's gonna rip your insides out.
I mean, it's so crazy. But also, if a child was found to be a liar, Frau Perchta would scrape out his eyes with glass.
That's so brutal.
It's very dark. Or she might even throw a child in her sack and cart them away with their legs dangling outside of the bag to, like, as a warning to other children about what could happen to you.
They must have earned it.
Yeah, exactly. So, moral of the story, don't mess with her. There is one story where she intrudes on a wedding reception that she wasn't invited to, very similar to Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty, just as you clocked already. So she like curses the bride and groom and the whole wedding party by transforming them into wolves, which I just love.
Wait, so is this so related to Sleeping Beauty?
I don't know that it's like the basis of, like, I think Sleeping Beauty existed separately, but it might be inspired. Yeah, I think it could be inspired by her. And there, I guess that like is kind of a, like, I don't know. Now I'm just speaking out of turn. I don't know the historical correctness of any of this, but I feel like that's what happens in Hercules too. Like, Hades isn't invited to the baptism,
right.
So curses Hercules or the birth or whatever. So maybe, I don't know. It could definitely be inspired. The spinning wheel feels like it has to be related. But,
or maybe it's just what part of the world did you say this is?
Austria and Germany.
Yeah, I think Sleeping Beauty's from there too. Maybe it's just similar parts of the world, so it's just a lot of crossover in like the
they all just be spinning.
They'd be spinning.
Other legends equate her with the legend of the Wild Hunt, which is very cool, like a very cool legend thing, where basically she flies through the night sky attended by an army of lost souls. And it's like her, you know, her army of servants pretty much looks like Krampus. Like, it's just like this crazy witch, like, leading this like group of Krampus looking things. And so it's interesting because the way, like, Krampus and Frau Perchta do kind of exist in the same stories, sort of. So Krampus is, you know, St. Nicholas Eve, and Perchta is more towards Epiphany time, as we kind of talked about. Mm-hmm. And they're also known as Berchtel Knights or Knocking Knights. And also among her army are the souls of unbaptized children. So just imagine just flying evil children.
That, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. This lady sounds kind of cool.
Honestly, shall we change this to the Frau Perchta podcast?
Yes, yes.
She is very cool. One of her other names is Hall, and that's like a winter goddess, which makes sense, you know, kind of related to the Epiphany and like the Star of Bethlehem. The Hall translates to shining or bright. Mm-hmm. And this, like, it does exist in some stories where there's like the evil or ugly Perchta and then like the pretty Perchta version where she's like a beautiful goddess. So there are lots of stories where she kind of exists in both of those forms. But she does – well, so first off, there are Perchtan ceremonies that take place, like celebrating her sort of, that are mostly held for Taurus. It doesn't seem like it's as much like part of the real tradition or culture anymore. It seems more Taurus focused. But she's often mistaken to be Krampus's wife, but it's not true. Mm. She's got her own stuff going on, clearly.
She's like, we just dated, okay?
It was one time.
I'm sorry. But, I'm so annoying right now.
No, I love it. But if you want to learn more about her, she does appear in the horror film Mother Krampus.
Mm.
Wait, hold on. It's based on the myth of Frau Perchta, a witch that comes cool. on the 12 days of Christmas, taking a child each night. Oh, this is like a – yeah.
Taking a child each night. It was so
funny. Beautiful.
Heartwarming. Hallmark.
It has 3.2 out of 10 on IMDb, but there is a sequel. So
nice. Nice.
You can learn more there. But that's pretty much Frau Perchta. I thought she was another cool. Yeah. I was trying to see if we had done.
That one is cool. I haven't heard of that.
I know we didn't do Christmas episodes last year. It's because I was trying to find like witchy Christmas things. And I was like, there's no way we haven't done her, but we hadn't.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I've never heard of her. She sounds like a badass.
Yeah. I'm going to find some pics. I'll find some good pics for the Instagram.
Yeah, with her one big foot and her fleet of flying
non-baptized
children. That's great. I love that. Oh, God.
Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you have the merriest Christmas.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm like, geez, like this is – both of our stories were so like dark. And then I'm like, oh, right. I guess that's just what the podcast is and we just happen to be talking about Christmas. So that it makes sense, yeah. I guess. But
yeah. Yeah. Sinister things.
Sinister Christmas. Okay, y'all. We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.
Did you say it with us? Brian, did you say it? Okay, bye.